verse 25 through 27. And you can look on the screen if you don't have the Bible in your hand. Either way, it works. Let us read. The fear of man brings a snare. Hey, I don't hear nothing. Boy, we can't even get on the same page on that. We're in trouble. No, we all right. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, and he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. We pray God bless the readers and hearers and doers of his word. Gain that insight. Amen. Not to delay, we're going to ask that you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I believe it's on the screen. We're going to go 8 through 12. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. Now, I really want to take from that and launch into the word with this thought in mind. We're going to talk about living under pressure. Amen. Living under pressure. Did that look like somebody y'all know? Right. Huh? That pressure is just all up on your back, weighing you down. Yeah, let's pray. Father, we thank you once again, God, for just allowing us the opportunity to come into your house amongst our brothers and sisters to hear what thus said the Lord. We pray your will be done here in this place. Teach us, God, your ways. Help us to understand how to navigate through life and how to handle the pressures of life, that God, when these things come upon us, that we'll still know how to stand in the midst of all of it, regardless of the adversity or the circumstances, that we'll stand and be strong. And for this, because of your glory, your strength, your power, we know that we are able to do so. So we bless you on this very day. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Just looking at the idea of the thought of being under pressure and living under pressure, it lets us know first and foremost that it is of importance to know that the first thing you're going to encounter in life pretty much is some form of pressure. And you're going to experience pressure throughout your life. And this is where we have to start understanding how we're going to go about handling pressures of life, navigating through them, and that we take authority over them and it doesn't take authority over us. We have to learn how to control those matters as opposed to letting them control us. All too often, people get a little bit frantic because sometimes there are things that they seem like they cannot get a grasp or a hold of. The funny thing is, as I look at your faces, many of you, I know already much of what you've been through, and I see that you're still here and still in your right mind, which lets us know that God can take whatever situation that we are contending with and help us get through it, regardless of what it may feel like when you're going through. If I was to ask the question, if anybody is dealing with anything, any pressures or anything that's up on them, many hands would go up, if not most. As one went up anyway, and it went up with a smile. I like that. You're handling pressure with a smile. Amen. And as we look in the passage here, we'll see also that these men, Paul and others, they dealt with much. And but some people, you know, you're going to find out some people literally work better under pressure. Some people handle pressure differently than others. While some handle it, others sometimes seem to fall to pieces. You know, I think about sometimes pastoring and so forth, and when you have to come up with a word all the time, even like today, you know, this week, I would have loved to get the message sooner, but sometimes God just give it to me in the morning before we come to church. And that being said, that could be pressure for somebody. Some people would literally fall to pieces if they didn't get the message, you know, prior throughout the week. But that's how God tends to do sometimes. I love the challenge. And just for the record, I didn't start out that way. I don't think I did. But I do know that God continues to develop each and every one of us. So regardless of what you think that you've been dealing with, God can take you higher than you've ever imagined. And you can experience greater than you can ever even imagine as well. God takes us into places that will help us become more of what we need to be and what he's called us to be. We don't always like the way it feels. We don't always like the way it looks. But you can rest assured, if you allow God to work it out in you, you're going to come out stronger on the other side. Amen. So pressure can work for us and it can work against us. It depends on the state of your mind. It depends on how you look at things, how you consider things, how you perceive things. Because there's always many ways of looking at the same situation. And depending on how you look at it, it's going to determine how that thing works for you or how it may press you into deeper challenges of life. Just thinking again about what was listed here in 2 Corinthians in verses 8, you know, as Paul writes, we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble. And there was a lot of things that showed up in Acts and different points in the scripture where it speaks to what some of the challenges that Paul had went through. And we know he's gone through a lot. And many don't suffer like that and go through things like that. But he did. And all that he's gone through, he still was going strong. And he still was of the mindset to help people know that, you know, we used to sing a song and say, I'm so glad and trouble don't last always. So, you know, you've heard it said before, either you're going into something or you in it or you're coming out of it. But either way it goes, you've dealt with something at some point in time in your life. So my prayer is that you will be encouraged that wherever you are and whatever you're facing today, understand that even that don't last always. We go stronger and stronger. Just look back over your life and then you go through all of your life through elementary. Some people were so concerned even how they might have looked in their elementary stage. And they were really like a butterfly waiting to come out of the cocoon. They thought that they were gonna look a certain way, and then folk, you know, they were negative about themselves and other people were speaking highly of them. And then once they started to realize that really what they thought about even themselves wasn't really true, and then they started to grow and started to go higher and higher in things. Some people were challenged with things in school concerning how they might have been bullied and so forth and how they handled those pressures of life, and they came out of that as well. So the truth of the matter is, again, whatever you're dealing with, God can bring you out. Amen. It doesn't matter what it is. We have to learn to trust God with all our heart, mind, and soul. Because it is in our trusting and in our faith in him that God will come to your rescue and he'll take you from the muck and the miry clay and put you on a solid rock, that solid foundation, and that rock being Christ Jesus. Amen. You get a spirit of Holy Ghost boldness that rises up on the inside of you, and what you feel you couldn't do, you find yourself doing. And then other people are starting to marvel at you because you're rising to places that they only wish they could. But God is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for one, he'll do it for another. Amen. So if he did it for you, he can do it for me. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. Yeah. And we are in the body of Christ. So that's a beautiful thing when you really get down to it. I kind of want to talk a little bit about this I'm going to introduce a couple of different people, at least mention them as well in the scripture, on some of the challenges they have faced as well. And we know some of those. But he goes on and so he wants people to be aware and not be ignorant of some of the struggles. And it also helps people to know that when you've struggled and you were challenged and now you're there to talk about it, right? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That you're able to share, as some of you young ladies did on this weekend, that you may have talked to one another about some of the pressures that you were faced, have faced, or going through right now, and then you receive some encouragement, and then by you telling them what you have dealt with and how you've overcome, you just ignited some passion in them to let them know that if God did that for you, he can also do it for me too. And this is why it's good to share with one another. We do not live life in isolation. We're not an oasis all unto ourselves. We are called to be a part of a body. We are called to make an impact in the world at large than what we live in. Again, somebody needs to hear that God loves them too, just like he loves us as well. Somebody needs to know that we love them because some of them have not yet attained that kind of love from their own family members. That's the beauty, again, as we talked about on a couple of weeks ago, about being coming into the greatest family in the universe. It's the greatest thing to be in the body of Christ. A lot of people don't understand that because sometimes their mind is not as such where they're in the mindset to receive what God is doing. But God is doing great things. Living under pressure. He goes on and says that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so we despaired even life. Life, their lives were at the brink. They were on the brink of dying. They're at the brink of death. And they had to contend with all the pressures, all the struggles, all the trials, all the different attacks and things that people come against them. And sometimes, like I like to say, is that we live with this little sweet little stuff most of the time. We ain't under the gun like a lot of folk are. And we need to rise above all of that. We need to rise above that because it's not going to do us any good. Again, you will find out more who you are because the pressure begins to teach you some things about yourself. Amen? It will press you to come out of some stuff or to go into things, how to rise above the fray. That pressure begins to help advance your life because the truth of the matter is if you don't know what you are under those conditions, then you come to sometimes find out about yourself and didn't realize that you were either stronger or weaker than what you thought. It can bring out good. It can bring out bad. What is it that you're dealing with? What is it that you're going through today that you're facing? Is the better coming out of you or is the worse coming out of you? You have to ask yourself those questions. Now, as we think about this here, I want to cover a little bit in Luke 22 because in here, talking about pressure, what if you were dealing with some situations where you had some your friends and family pressing you to about the Lord, would you stand tall or would you fall to pieces? In Luke 22, verse 54, we see in the story, and I'm not going to read it all, but it talks about the fact that Peter, before the rooster crowed, he denied Jesus three times. And this is a man that was right there with him. Amen? How do you deal with people when you are faced with pressure from people, when they start to come at you and you're trying to figure out how to handle that pressure? Because everybody is not speaking up in terms of what they believe when they come under pressure by those who are outside of the faith. Some people are wilting like flowers, dead flowers. How about that? And they're falling to pieces because the pressure is mounting. We have to be able to rise up in the midst of all of that. And we only do that through Christ. Once again, we must state that. It is never in your own strength that you rise to that place. It's going to be through the power of God because sometimes the levels of pressure will increase. You think you pass one test and then the level of pressure goes higher And if you're trying to do it like you did the first time, maybe you did it in your strength, it's going to be revealed what you're made of. We see a lot of funny stuff out there these days. People are just falling to pieces because they're under pressure. Yeah. Amen? And we're going to talk a little bit about the stuff that really hits you on a day-to-day basis. You got to know you can rise above all of it.
Amen.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You think you're going through something. I'm telling you, when you get a dose of the Holy Ghost,
yeah,
you just start rolling and flying high. You rise right above all that stuff. It may be looking funny. It may look twisted, but you ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah.
God has got you. Isn't it a wonderful place to know that God's got you?
Amen.
Right? He's taking you into his loving arms, and he can rock you in the cradle of his arms when you feel like you need comfort. He's there to comfort you. When you're in pain, he can help restore the joy of your salvation and give you strength when you're feeling weak.
Yeah.
This is the God we're talking about.
Amen.
Enough people ain't even espousing enough of Christ to people because they've been under pressure. Pressure not to talk about the Lord anymore. We can talk about God, but just don't talk about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You don't even necessarily know what God they're talking about. But they'll say, you can talk about God, but don't talk about Jesus. I know nobody in here wants to deny Christ, so you keep on pressing in because pressure is going to keep coming. All forms of pressure. Amen. So we see how Peter denied Jesus. But then I want to cover a little bit in Acts chapter 5. I'm going to try to race through this here as quickly as possible. Acts chapter 5. We do like reading the scripture here, right?
Amen.
Verse 12 and 13 says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Sometimes in life you'll find that you got your cohorts that working with you, but you got some other folk that talk like they with you. But they'll say, no, you go ahead and do it. You're doing it well. You know, I was just thinking about you, Julian, when you guys go out sometime, and a lot of people say, yeah, I'm coming out with you. And you just never see them. They'll esteem you highly, right? But then they say, you go and do it. Right? Everybody don't want to get in the fray, right? Because the pressure is too much. You know, we come up with all kind of excuses for why we won't do something. And we'll start saying, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, nobody said you had to be the one. Maybe if you start going along with it, maybe you'll start finding out what it's like, and then you'll start growing in that thing. Because you got to do something to get something. If we continue to do what we've always done, we'll always get what we've always gotten. Again, too often people it's easy for them to say certain things when it's dealing with somebody else, but it's hard for them to step in and do the same. It goes on in the verse 17 and 18, and I'll read that. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and there were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. See, that's a pressure cooker right there, that you are speaking things of God, and they're watching the miracle signs and wonders, and they're seeing things that's happening in your world. And then all of a sudden, somebody has this thought about you, and they can't handle the pressure because now they are being shown up for what they really are. Oftentimes people will mess up and mess with you because they're so insecure in who they are. So they got to figure out a way to hinder you or stop you. They got to come up with words that would begin to negate what you are called to do. If you're listening to the foolishness, then you will bow to the pressure that comes from those words. People are saying all kind of things. Typically, I don't know too many people, and I don't think I know anybody that's been thrown into prison for just sharing the good news. But you may be thrown into prison of your mind because you've been pressed into some things because you couldn't come up out of that. You couldn't handle that pressure that they were putting up on you. People are talking negatively about you, and they're saying, who you one of them holy rollers, and you one of those goody two-shoes. As they used to tell me, the guys in the neighborhood would say, oh, you just one of them old church boys. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I still ain't scared because I'm still a church boy. Yeah, what's funny about that, Sister Elsie, some of them same cats, and they, when they see you, they want you praying for them, right? Because, see, they realize that you were working with something. But in the beginning, they spent that time trying to ridicule you and make a mockery of you and laugh at you. But you know what? Again, I tell you, I really live life under pressure. And so maybe some of this here has, this is for me too, huh? I love the idea that somebody want to rise up and try to challenge. Because it don't mean nothing. It's only what God is saying.
Amen.
See, I am not a people pleaser. And so when God rise up in you in the middle of it, you know, I was messing with Brother Adrian the other day when he was preaching, and I said, then his help came, right?
Right.
Right? The Holy Ghost will show up in the middle of that situation. See, as long as you still trust God or believe God, you know, you walk right past that stuff that should be trying to take you out. You just go right through that thing.
Amen.
What, you trying to take me out? Okay, well, let's see what Jesus does. Let's see what the Lord does now.
Yeah.
And so you call upon the Lord. These are just simple things. We call upon the Lord in the midst of our trials and tribulation, our circumstances. And even if we are faced with a person one-on-one, God, what is it you would have me to do or say? How could I handle this situation? Well, one thing, I'm not bowing down to no devil. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
We ain't scared of no demons.
Right.
Y'all know we whip up on demons. They ain't running nothing. This is God's thing,
yeah.
Right? This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So that means the Spirit of God resides within us.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We just got to come in more in contact with the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Once we start feeding ourselves with the Word and we start rising up, and the Spirit of God start rising up within us, you'll start finding yourself accomplishing things you couldn't have done before you started believing and trusting to that degree. Or before you start studying to show yourself approved unto God, being a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
You begin to start growing and going, and you start just rising. And I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing to see yourself coming out of situations that once seemed to had you like this. It had a hold on you like a chokehold around your neck. It kind of reminded me of that pelican, and I think of that frog, that little illustration. Where it was, they were trying to, the pelican trying to swallow the frog, but the frog had his hands clamped around his neck. He said, don't give up. See, you ain't swallowing me. I got you by the neck too. See, y'all got to come on with it. That's always another angle. Right? And the beauty of it is God gives you wisdom. He'll give you wisdom to know how to deal with whatever situation that you're faced with. He gives it to you, and he freely gives it to you. You just got to inquire of him. You got to ask of him. When you're going through the pressures of life, whatever you're challenged with, bills are funny, you know, and you got the collectors calling on you and all that stuff. You need to be talking to the Lord. Lord, I can't handle this. Give that thing to the Lord,
Amen.
And you keep on living.
Amen.
Come on now. I know some folk that went through some of that. If some of you thought you were going to lose your mind because they were calling you, don't answer the phone. You already knew who it was when they were calling. They try to whip you up and beat you down and all that stuff, and you getting pressured by that. Don't put yourself in harm's way like that. And then we know better, do better. We do what we can do after that. But the end of it is that you got to let God do what God does.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
And he'll help you with that. He'll rescue you. Right?
Yes.
Has he ever brought any of you out?
Yes.
With what you've been dealing with?
Yeah.
Do you still believe if he did it before, he can do it again?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. Sometimes in life, as we go up in life, we start encountering different levels of devils and different challenges.
Yeah.
And sometimes we forget that God fixed it when we were on this level. He'll fix it when we're on that level.
Yeah.
And when we get to the next level, he'll take care of you there too.
Yeah.
He takes care of you. But one thing for certain is he'll help you address and he'll help you tweak your mind so that you'll know how to handle those things that come your way. We don't have to go Looney Tunes and start thinking that there is no hope. There's always hope. Our hope is in Christ. right? We got a future reward. We got a heavenly reward. So what you deal with today, ain't it's not this. This has no way of taking you down if you don't let it. There's no way, because God's got you. But let me go ahead and read some more of this. Over still in Acts 5, we said 17, 18, they put him in the prison. Okay, verse 25, I'm just kind of skipping through this. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. See, he rescued them from prison right there. It goes to show you God still take care of his own. Verse 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? Now you see how that pressure is coming? Didn't we tell you not to be teaching in the name of the Lord? And you have the audacity to do so? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. And it's really the Holy Spirit's doctrine. And intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man.
Amen.
We obey God rather than man.
Amen.
And some people are trying to control your life. Have y'all ever had that happen to you? Where people try to control your life and you spend all your days trying to please them at the expense of what God is telling you to do? You ought to be saying, just like they said here in the scripture, I obey God rather than what you got to say.
Amen.
See, you have these pressures. What are you going to do with them? The word is true. It is life. And it speaks life and light to us. It goes on, verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Verse 31. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So we see in verse 29, pressure can help clarify your priorities. Your priority first ought to always be God.
Amen.
Everything ought to be about him first. When you're in situations and you need answers to your questions and solutions for your problems, you need to be talking to the Lord so he can address that with you. See, sometimes people, they'll go to somebody else first before they even talk to God. See, God can even send somebody to you before you ever had to go seek somebody. Because God can do that. And then when somebody comes along, they're going to come back and confirm just what God already told you. Amen, somebody. But you start looking at pressure. If you really seek God, it will help clarify your priorities. You start knowing what's most important. You start knowing how you should approach these matters that you're facing with. Verse 30 and 31, it lets us know, it helps clarify our message. See, what message do you present to other people? What words are you saying and what actions are you doing that reflect and represent Christ? See, the thing is, when pressure comes, either you're going to waffle under pressure or you're going to rise up. At the least, you should say, you know, I've been dealing with this situation, and I ain't learned how to deal with people when they confront me. Well, maybe it'll cause you to get deeper into the word so that when things arise, that you're able to speak those things that be not as though they are. You'll be able to speak life into dead situations.
Amen.
You'll be able to tell people what thus said the Lord,
Amen.
And you don't have to kowtow to what they're saying.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
This is a great God.
Yes, he is.
It's a wonderful place to be with knowing that you are connected to the Most High God.
Yeah.
That he's working out the things for your life for his glory and your good.
That's right.
That's what he's doing.
Amen.
Amen. Think about the things that you are lacking that press you, because you got to understand this. Everything that causes you to be under pressure does not press everybody else.
Right.
So it tells us that there is something in us that needs to be tweaked and adjusted, or at least considered.
Amen.
Because we got to know how to deal with it. Some people, they have a bill due and they ain't even tripping about it. And another person falling to pieces. They calling 13 folk to see if they can help them. Bail them out. And they could have the greatest crying story. Another person say, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do. But I know you're going to do something.
Amen.
I believe God, because I can't handle this on my own.
Amen.
And so they start with their priorities going first. And then they learn how to also deal with the message that they need to contend with. Verse 42, and I'm just going to read this here. Verse 42 says, "And daily in the temple and every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." Amen. They did not cease. They were a determined bunch. They just kept on going on and going on. You know, they used to sing songs about, "I don't feel no ways tired."
Yeah.
Right? See, some people, they keep on going. They're not falling by the wayside at every little wrinkle and every little obstacle that faces them. They continue to go on because they're determined. Anybody in here determined?
Amen.
Anybody dedicated and committed to the cause of Christ?
Yes,
amen. Some folks still waiting. Pastor, when you going to give me some of that stuff on me, though? Well, it's coming too. It's all dealing with you, but you may not have picked it up yet. Priorities are those things that we give most attention to. Sometimes priorities are formed by those things that press us the most. At other times, our priorities can become misplaced due to lack of focus. And when I was writing this, I was thinking about it. I was saying, wow, you know, when you're not focused, you can't even determine what your priorities are. I got all of these things to do. And which one am I supposed to do first? And this is where it gets me, Minister Gene. And so we're trying to juggle this stuff, and we still ain't figured out we got to be talking to God first. And sometimes he tell you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You sometimes just got to let go and let God have his way. But we sometimes, again, our priorities become misplaced due to lack of focus. We don't even know what to do first. Some people are driven to focus while under pressure, while others seem to do everything possible to get out of areas that tend to press them. And you know what it's like when pressure comes. Some people will literally run from pressure. But you have to ask yourself the question, where are you going to run? And who are you going to run to? In other words, they run from them, and you understand what I mean, because they become irresponsible at times, too, in their running. For instance, imagine the man who has a family and pressure comes because the family is not just he and his wife and now his kids involved. And all of a sudden, they become irresponsible because of the pressure of raising children. Instead of sticking with them and standing in there with them, some of them just tuck tail and run. And they start running away because they don't have enough in them to stay the course. Tracy and Kendall, they were decent kids, but they weren't perfect kids, and neither are yours, and neither were we.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
But it would not be God if I was to run because they just got into trouble a few times about something, or because I figured that they were causing me pain because the money I made, I got to give to them more than I wanted to keep, you know, and I really wanted to keep it for myself. Think about that. These are things people deal with, and they just run. They say, I can't handle the pressure anymore. And they'll bolt from their own family because of the pressure that comes from having a family. Because the spouse ain't always agreeing. Well, whoever told you that was going to happen? You're living in la-la land if you think that your spouse is going to always agree with you, and that's either whether you're male or female. See, some people want their way so much that when they don't get their way and they look at it as pressure, and they're like, well, I can't ever get my way with you, so I'm out of here. Well, what about those kids? Well, you keep the kids. Oh, it's true. These are the things that people do because they're under pressure and they don't want to rise up and handle their responsibilities. Amen. I tell you, people will make a lot of excuses. So he goes, we go on, and here I put down here that it says that the weakness of the individual has really been exposed. Because you start really finding out what a person is like based off of the pressure and how they respond to that pressure. Some people are more in fear, and then they live lives of frustration, and they start running because they're afraid. They're afraid to handle things. They're not walking in faith. They're not believing that God can help them manage what they're dealing with. I believe God can help you whatever your situation is. And he can help you anytime, anywhere, regardless of what your life situations are. He can do that. Yeah. Amen? So, again, their faith in the Lord is lacking more than they might own up to. How many of you know, again, that the pressure you deal with is going to either press and reveal something good or something not so good? It's going to show you what's inside of you. Amen. I got a little illustration. I'm going to step down here. You got that for me? It's like being, your life is like being a sponge. And it's an accumulation of all kind of stuff over the course of your life, your experiences, your environment, and so forth. And on the surface, you don't really know necessarily what's in here. Yeah. Amen, somebody. Because it's just a sponge. You see that? And we take the other one. Well, it got mixed in there, huh? One is water, and the other one was milk. And it reveals what's in you when you come under pressure. In essence, when someone squeezes you. Anybody ever been squeezed? Anybody ever been squeezed? When your husband or your wife squeezed you, did you tuck tail and run? Did you just go in your room and lock the door? Did you just give up and want to quit? See, only this is the thing you have to understand. Only what's within you is what comes out of you. Amen. Only what's within you is literally what comes out of you. And if you're filled with the Spirit of God, then when you are squeezed, the Spirit of God is going to show up. Amen. If you're full of yourself and some of them other spirits, when you're squeezed, that flesh and them other spirits is going to come out. So this is how sometimes people will say, man, that person is so discerning. No, I saw you under pressure. I know that there's something else working in you that shouldn't be there. Because you wouldn't reveal this other stuff if it didn't exist. Amen, somebody. Amen. Only what's in you is going to come out of you. It is what it is. And this is where we have to become more responsible about ourselves. That's a pressure too, that you have to literally take into account what's going on. Some of you deal with anger. As an example, you have an angry spirit. And Brother McKenzie, I was thinking about this anger stuff, and I thought about how a hot water heater has to have a pressure release valve on it, right? Because the way the construct is of a hot water heater, the way the water goes in, the cold water goes in, it goes down to the bottom, and it's just physics, really. So when it begins to heat up, the hot water begins to rise. It goes, raise up. The water or heat, or steam, I should say, is going to go up. And it goes to the top, and if it's too much in it or if it's too much pressure in there, it's going to pop that release valve. Now, one way you can help yourself sometime, if you know something's going on, maybe you just check it sometime and hit that release valve and you watch something come out of it, right? It's kind of the same thing, kind of like what happens with a radiator when your car is overheating. It starts to release into that other spot. So this is the thing that happens. Sometimes some of you are dealing with anger and you feel there's so much pressure on you. And you go into a rage. You go into a rage and you want to take a person's head off. Oh, that ain't nobody in here. That ain't nobody in here. Ain't nobody got a spirit of anger in here. Only what's in you is going to come out of you. Some people ridicule people because they don't feel good about themselves. And every chance they get, they're going to ridicule you. Because that's all they got in them. They don't feel good enough about themselves, so they always got to make you feel less. It's the pressure that they experience in their own world that they have not yet learned how to handle. And so they begin to function in a way that you become the beneficiary of that vile and wickedness that comes forth because they're not feeling good about themselves. These are the matters that we face in this life. See, most of what we deal with in life is not like what Paul had to contend with. You know, where you're being shipwrecked and everything else, and you're going through battles and all of this. Most of folk will never deal with this, but they're dealing with these little personal nuances and issues that come up around them. Many folk have become divorced because they could not handle that pressure. They just couldn't handle the pressure for whatever they may have thought it was, whether it's the children or the spouse, whether it was the bills, whatever it was. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, God is telling us that if you want to rise above all of that, you can only do it in me. Amen. I'm the only one who can help you out of this. See, I never intended you to live life independently of me. I only wanted you to live life with me in regard. That I'm your first priority because I'm your first love. God, he's telling us these things. How are you handling the pressure you face? Does the pressure you face cause you to do something ungodly? Does the pressure you face make you steal, cheat, and lie? If you don't have a thieving spirit, you ain't gonna start stealing. What's working on the inside of us? This is God really talking to us. What is working on the inside of us? If you got some joy, you know when you come under pressure, you go through the pressure with joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
You know that the Lord is your salvation. I'm just thinking about it. Some folks probably think I'm tripping. Some of y'all might think I'm tripping. It's real stuff.
Amen.
Everybody ain't handling pressure the same way. How are you handling yours? What's making you tick or click? I want you thinking and reflecting on your life right now. Is the pressure of trying to prove something to somebody else make you go out and do some things, you know, such as you see how they're living and the cars and the houses they have, and then you go out there and try to do the same, but you are doing it not of God? Does the pressure of trying to attain things make me sell drugs that hurt other people? Does it make me do that? Because I want what they got. Does it make me break in into doors? Kicking doors in because I want your TV and your laptop or maybe your cell phone and your jewelry. Is that the pressure that you face? What kind of pressure are you facing? I hear sometimes people will go in and they're facing pressure because they're trying to go to college and so forth. And then they'll go and get in and start changing the teacher's grades on the inside. They hack into the computer. Oh, yeah, they do. This is one of those messages that really make you reflect on your life. And we still act like God don't know what we're doing. And then want him to bless our evil doing. Y'all, I ain't trying to go all in there today. We want God to bless our evil practices and activities. We don't want nobody to know, but we forget that God knows all things.
Amen.
And God, see, you young ladies, you know, check this out. So y'all, I don't know, when you guys were at the event over this weekend, can you imagine if the prophet or prophetess would have came to you and told you something about yourself off of a negative side of yourself? See, when we do that, we rather whisper that in your ear because we're still trying to protect your interests. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
We don't want everybody to know what you're necessarily dealing with. So we try to whisper that into your ear, that even though I wasn't at the place where the situation occurred, God still knew your situation. And he's only revealing it to you because he don't want you to grow and go through this life trying to do things in your own accord, covering up and masking stuff, and ultimately it can impact you as well as your family generations to come. See, we don't think about that. We don't think about that. If some people was really to start thinking about why their kids act the way they do, then they may have to go back and reflect on what they were doing. It ain't in all cases, but in a number of cases, it works that way. So what we think we covered up in hiding because pressure has mounted up against us, God will come along somewhere and expose it. And it's going to really reveal that you had some issues that you didn't address. I want to say, go through this last piece here, because this is what we're going to have to do. And I've skipped a lot of stuff. But God wants us to understand this, that you have to be, at times you're going to have to be broken. If you really want to get what God wants, because you have been trying to skirt these matters and slide through them and cover them up. Your pride has gone too strong, too long. You're under hardship, trial, and stress because you know that if you are doing things that, as a child of God that oppose God, you never really have the peace in a way that you need to, because if you won't reveal and say, Lord God, I did this, and you holding on to that, and you won't ask God forgiveness and repent, you're going to constantly be tormented and stressed. See, some people are going through that stress. James tells us this. My brethren, count it all joy, James 1:2, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, the stuff you're going through is actually perfecting you if you allow God to do it. If you resist it, it's going to hinder you and harm you. He even says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Blessed is the man, verse 12, who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. But we got to be broken. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed and not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be made manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also be made manifest in the mortal flesh. This last piece is this. concerning having a contrite heart. In Isaiah 66, these are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit. Listen to what he says. Isaiah 66 and 2. These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit, who tremble at my word. And David writes in Psalm 51, 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. So contrition is spoken of as something God likes. It is linked in these verses to humility and brokenness, a healthy fear of God's word. The International Bible Encyclopedia says this about a contrite heart. It is one which the natural pride and self-sufficiency have been completely humbled by the consciousness of guilt. The Hebrew and Greek words often translated contrite actually mean crushed, crippled, or broken. When contrite modifies heart, we get the picture of a conscience that is crushed by the weight of his own guilt. When a human stops justifying his wrong choices, awakens to the depth of his depravity, and humbly accepts God's righteous condemnation of sin, contrition is present. A contrite heart often offers no excuse and shifts no blame. It fully agrees with God about how evil it is. See, this is why we don't allow pressure to take us out. We trust in God, and sometimes if we're not careful, we allow our pride to rise up. And we will never allow ourselves to be broken. And we go through life in a less than kind of way. It's the lower level of living. The reason a broken and contrite heart are the sacrifices that God desires is because they are the sacrifices that crucify pride, selfishness, and reliance, self-reliance. You cannot lay a proud, self-reliant heart on the altar of God, but you can definitely lay a broken heart and contrite spirit there. Broken people who have acknowledged the cracks and flaws in their lives are typically the most effective servants of God, because they realized that they couldn't do it. And at any time they were off track, they literally went and cried out to God. Amen. And asked for God's deliverance, asked for God's forgiveness. Amen. Asked for God to strengthen them in those areas that are weak. A prideful heart will not do that. Most of us spend our energies trying to hide the cracks in our lives. We fill them with worldly philosophies, other types of illustrations and scenarios and excuses. And it's like putting putty instead of being honest and transparent before our God. And those who live this way spend a lot of time focusing on the flaws of others as opposed to their own flaws. It's for a person who is not going to deal with those cracks and flaws in their life, they become judgmental. They become gossips, and they become critical. As opposed to having a ministry of compassion, they have a ministry of hypocrisy and separation. They practice what the enemy does, to kill, steal, and destroy. In those days, they used to put their jaws out. In the Bible days, put their jaws out and as vessels and on display and advertise them as a word called sincera, which means sincerely, which means without wax. Hypocritical and dishonest merchants would take jaws with cracked, that were cracked in the fiery furnace, and fill the jaws with wax and paint over them. The jaws were useless to the people who brought them, because as soon as they were filled, the wax would melt, and whatever liquid was on the inside would pour out. And this is what God is trying to get us to understand. if this is that vessel, and it went through and got cracked up, it's like somebody masking it and putting on this wax. And as soon as you put some little pressure or heat into it, it's going to expose all the flaws and the cracks. And this is what some of the hypocritical people would do. They'd rather see your flaws and cracks and never deal with their own. They'll expose yours but never deal with theirs. They crack under pressure. And then they hope that you crack under the pressure that they put in place on you. But again, as I said earlier, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Some of us really rise when pressure comes. It's like taking a test, and all of a sudden, all your focus, you start realizing your priority, and you focus in and you lock in with laser beam focus, and you go after that thing, and you can take those tests. I've taken many tests under pressure, and I had to believe that I was going to pass. I've been thrown in the fire on more occasion than you can imagine. And I'm thankful for what God has done. Amen. This is why we don't fight that. Amen. God do in me what I can't do of my own accord. If I have to be in the fire, I believe God, when I lean not to my own understanding, I believe that things are going to come out like pure gold.
Amen.
Amen. At the end of the day, God has got so much more for you than you understand. It's your time to rise.
Amen.
Don't crack under pressure. Rise up under the pressure. And he will strengthen you in that area because he's more than able. Amen.
Amen.
God does exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah.